Turn to Habakkuk or Habakkuk if you prefer. It's skinny books in the back. Find Matthew and turn left 5 books. It's a little one hidden in there. I'm giving you lots of time to find it because I know you probably don't know where it is very well. Hopefully you do, but it's a tricky one to find. I have, for a very long time, been asking the Lord for direction for this church. I have felt in the past that the Lord has given me yearly visions and things to work at. I've preached on Isaiah 28:16 of Tridestone, what it means in the founding of what we were and are and will be, our identity in essence. But I believe this year during the 21-day fast, as I was fasting, the Lord gave me a specific vision for our church in the future while I'm here. This is not just for this year. I'm going to adapt this as our slogan, if you will. In the past, we had something to the effect of loving Christ, loving others, loving the world, or loving each other, loving the world. And most of you may or may not have actually been able to even say that off the top of your head. I think you've probably heard that. You say, oh, that's a nice little phrase, but I'm not sure that that was really our identity. It's a very general, love is great. I'm not trying to do away with love. It's going to be one of our core values, which I'm going to get into the next couple weeks. But I want to take time this Sunday and share what I believe is something that is not just going to be a slogan or a tagline for our church, Tridestone Christian Center, our vision is, but something that we actually believe, something that you'll start to see affecting sermons, something that our Bible studies will start to encompass, something that you'll start to see our worship navigate around and into. This is going to affect every aspect and value of Tridestone. And so with a lot of prayer and fasting that has gone into this, I have been seeking the Lord for this vision statement for about 3 years now. I do not take this lightly. I'm not trying to undo anything that was done before. I'm just trying to add on to that. The baton was passed. I stepped into the shoes that Pastor Vince and Ruth Guerra sewed for many years here in Blacksburg, and I believe this is the mantle that the Lord has put on me, and this is what he wants to see this church while this season is going on for us to walk into. So I am going to likely burn a copy of this message for everyone in this church, whether you heard it today or not, and I want us to take this very seriously and listen to this message from time to time, because I believe this is going to be the foundation of our core values and who we are. As I said, 11 days into our fast this year, on January 12th, I was doing some light Bible study and reading. I was not specifically praying about this, and the Lord gave me a vision. I don't very often feel like I have visions like a dream. It was actually something that the Lord revealed to me through my spiritual eyes. I don't feel like this happens very often to me, but I saw Tridestone, this church and the members in it, worshiping with abandon before the Lord. Absolute reckless abandon. Nobody was concerned with what was going on behind or to the left or the right of them. They were looking at Jesus Christ and him alone. People were worshiping in ways, and they had really kind of stepped out of their comfort zone, if you will. And the glory of the Lord fell. And I know the glory of the Lord fell because this is what the thought was put into my spirit, man, as I was praying. To see the New River Valley filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Hopefully you have found it by now. And I have not. Habakkuk chapter 2. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now this verse is adapted from Isaiah chapter 11 verse 9. It says, they will not hurt or destroy in all my holy They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And here it's reiterated, but notice who's actually speaking it. If you read through Habakkuk itself, the book of it, you can see that the Lord actually is here. In chapters 1 through 2, Habakkuk, the prophet here, was posing some difficult questions to God. He was essentially asking him why evil was prevailing. And God claimed in verse 5 of chapter 1 that he would do some things you would not even believe. That you would not believe them if you were told these things. In chapter 2, God answers the prophet Habakkuk in these questions that he posed in chapter 1. And he's urging everyone to ultimately be patient because he is good. Watch my hand. Ultimately, trust in me. So I mention that because that is the context from which the Lord says the earth will be filled with his glory. Trust in me. Watch me as the earth is filled with my glory. This is certainly a prophetic passage that I believe has more than one meaning. It is symbolic of the overthrow of Babylon. This is what was going on in history, which was the superpower of the day. And there's talk about the Chaldeans being overthrown and the glory coming back to Jerusalem as the temple is rebuilt. I also believe that this is a type and a shadow of the power that will ultimately and completely be overthrown when the fullness of Jesus Christ comes. Notice the future tense. The earth will be filled. And so it's partially taken place in a sense, but there's a double meaning, I believe. And it will be taken place in fullness. So our vision, we've got a statement here. You can go to the next slide. It says, to see the New River Valley filled with the knowledge of the glory of him. I want us to all say that. Tridestone's vision statement is, to see the New River Valley filled with the knowledge of the glory of him. I want us to look at this statement this morning, the vision for us, the vision for this church, in three parts. First, the significance of the glory of God. I went back and I was studying for this message based on this scripture in Habakkuk, and had gone back and said through my notes of past sermons and said, I know I've preached on the glory of God and found three old sermons, and I thought it'd be good for me to read through those things and see where I went with those. Well, I must confess that I printed them and I never actually got around to reading them. So some of this might be repeat, but I'll tell you one thing, it is inspired. I've had three messages in the past 3 years that have been specifically on glory. And so we can go back and look at those. I can give you the dates if you're interested. The glory is an important thing, and it's something that is going to be a pursuit of this church moving forward. So the significance of it. Isaiah 6, verse 3 says what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is Isaiah as he's gets a vision. The train of the Lord's robe fills the temple. He says, woe is me! I am an unclean man. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm undone. And these angels are, we sing this song often. They're singing over this beautiful representation of God and his glory filling the temple. Holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. These days we in church talk about the glory of God, the glory descending in our church, the glory, I mentioned it even in the vision. In worship services, oh, the glory, it was, or his presence was thick, or we enter into his glory. How many of you probably heard that statement before? We talk about people going home with the Lord or experiencing his glory. But what is glory, really? What is glory all about? Is it the same thing as the presence of the Lord? Is glory the presence of the Holy Spirit? Do they mean that the Holy Spirit fills their churches tangibly? Do they mean that God fills us with the Holy Spirit? What is glory and what does God's glory look like? Well, in the simplest form, and we're going to expound on this, glory looks like Jesus Christ. John 1, verses 14 and 16 and 17 say, and the Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. For of his fullness we have all received, in grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 is a good one for you to write down and study on your own. It's what ties this really together. Paul says that Christ Jesus himself, that shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, is in the face of Christ. Let me say that again. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 says that Christ himself, who shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, is in the face of Christ. So the glory of God is actually revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1, 3 says that he is the exact representation of the Father. What is God? He is glory. Jesus Christ revealed all of God's attributes and who he is and what he stands for by revealing his face and shining on the world. So I believe Christ is the manifestation of the glory of God as his image. Glory in the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word, kabod. The word Shekinah appears in the Talmud and other Jewish writings. It does not actually appear in the Bible, although the principle and concept certainly does. We'll get to that in a minute. But this word Shekinah means dwelling or settling, and it denotes the dwelling or settling of the divine presence of God. That God actually came down and dwelt among man. He settled in this place. Again, we'll get to this passage in a little bit. And when the Old Testament was translated into Greek, the writers used this word doxa, which is a Greek word for glory. And it combined, actually, Shekinah and kabod. So it was a much broader word, and it brought these words together that actually the glory and the dwelling of God are the same thing in the Greek New Testament. So God's presence or dwelling is synonymous with his glory. And while we often use these two terms interchangeably, I believe his glory denotes the tangible presence of God beyond our everyday experience. Bob Sorge, I have ordered this book along with another one that I'm going to reference. I like the title already, Glory When Heaven Invades Earth. But from his book, this is how he defines glory. It's the invasion of God's reality into the human sphere. The invasion of the reality of God is that we actually get a peace in an understanding of who God is when his glory descends and falls. Is that as he inhabits the earth and dwells among us, he reveals his character and his nature to us. So he invades our kingdom and reveals himself. Ruth Ward Heflin, here's another book, Glory Experiencing the Atmosphere of Heaven, she says this about glory. It's the revelation of the presence of God. It is the manifestation of his presence. He is glory. He is everywhere, but glory is the manifestation of that reality. When glory comes down, it's a bit of heaven's atmosphere coming down to us, a taste of his manifest presence. Now, I want us to plug this into our vision, the vision statement for the church. To see the New River Valley filled with the knowledge of the revelation of the presence of God. This is what I believe God wants for this church. To see the New River Valley filled with the knowledge of the revelation, the presence of God. In essence, our vision is to see the New River Valley, or to see people's eyes open to the very presence of God and around them in the everyday life. That is a powerful commissioning. So we desire this place to so be radically changed for people to realize that God is here in the midst of them, for him to come in his fullness, not just on Sunday mornings, not just contained in the walls, But as you walk down the streets, you start to see the manifest presence of God everywhere you go. How awesome would it be if we started shifting our minds from date night to, I'm going to go evangelize God's presence. I'm going to go evangelize with the manifest presence of God. So it's fine. You start to go out to dinner, but while you're there, you say, ooh, look at God on that person. I'm going to go pray for them. That you actually get to impart and open their eyes and reveal the manifest presence of God to them. Now, God's presence is important and special, and it certainly changes us, even physically. You can see that in Moses, for one. But I wanted to take a step further this morning and point out that just acknowledging the presence of God will not have the same effect as having a true knowledge of his presence. Is that you can actually acknowledge that his presence exists. You can acknowledge God in this room, and it will not necessarily have the same effect as entering into his glory and realizing the fullness and the depths of the knowledge of his presence. This is actually pointed out in Numbers chapter 14, verses 20 and 22, and it alludes to and confirms this idea. The verses say, so the Lord said, we do have this one, I have pardoned them according to your word, but indeed as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. In essence, what's going on is that Israel was rebelling against God. The Lord here rebukes them in this chapter. And the point is this, that you can actually visibly see the glory of God. You can recognize and acknowledge that God's glory is among you and not have an actual change in your spirit, man. This is what Israel did. God rebuked them for it. That here they had the very glory of God himself in the fire by night, in the cloud by day. That here Moses went up on the mountain and the mountain was shaking and they were afraid because God was speaking to them. They say, God, we don't like this anymore. Moses, I want you to go talk to them in private because this is scary. They recognized and acknowledged the glory of God, but it didn't change them from the inside out. So what was the difference? What were they missing, the people of Israel? I believe the answer to that question is knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. The very knowledge of God, the very knowledge of his divine nature, that when they reject them, we are actually destroyed. So I believe that our experience in the Lord's presence actually depends on our spiritual tuning. That the glory will come down and it will affect all of us to different degrees and levels when you allow and open up your heart for him to affect you. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, if the very glory of God is thick in this place and somebody who's never experienced it walked in, that they're going to be unchanged. But I will say this, that if you open yourself up to God and allow the fullness to come into your life, you will be changed to a much more dramatic effect. Even though the earth, in a sense, is full of God's glory, many do not perceive it. So what is this knowledge of his glory? Well, my take on this is this. The knowledge of the glory of God is more than just an awareness of his presence. It includes, through the confidence in the faith that we have in him, all that it brings. What does his presence bring? Well, to name a few, breakthrough. His presence brings joy. His presence brings peace. It brings love. Freedom, his presence brings healing, it brings provision, it brings liberty, it brings faith, it brings compassion, it brings miracles. These are all included in the presence and the very glory of God, is that when you soak in front of God himself, that it actually affects all of the circumstances around you because you see differently. No longer do you walk out of here depressed because you've been with God the Father and you start to see things around you. No longer do you walk out of here with ailments because you say, God, thank you for the healing that I have received, and you walk in the fullness that he has through Jesus Christ for you. No longer do you walk out of here thinking that woe is me and I have nothing to live by. God says, look at the provisions all around you. So as we spend time in God's very presence, he opens up our spiritual eyes and we become changed. The knowledge of the glory of God. I believe we have an obligation to educate the world that God's glory is not something to be feared like Israel, but a welcoming habitation, a place that we should long to be. Not something that we say, Moses, go talk to him for yourself. Pastor, go talk to God for yourself. But something we're actually desiring to be in the fullness of God's glory, his intimate presence. As David said in Psalm 26, verse 8, O Lord, I love the habitation of your house in the place where your glory dwells. I love to be in the place where your glory is, Father. This should be the cry of every single person in this room. Isaiah prophesied in chapter 60 that as darkness increased over the earth, so too would the brightness of God's rising upon us. His glory would be revealed through his body, the church, us. His power, his grace, his compassion, and his might will be shared to the world through his ambassadors, the church. And it will be overshadowed by his spirit, just as the prophet cried out in chapter 64, verses 1 through 3. Let us cry out to the Lord to rend open the heavens, invade our earthly realms, and visit us with mighty impartations in the fullness of his presence and glory. See, we are the vessels, and we hold this treasure of the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4. We contain it. We possess it. We actually are carriers of the glory. Oh, what a concept. As Paul said and wrote in the first chapter of Colossians, I believe it's verse 3, he said this, or verse 27, I'm sorry, he says, Christ in you. What's in you? Christ is in you, who is the hope of glory. If Christ is in us, we actually carry the glory and all of the hope that comes along with it for the world. Now, the knowledge of the glory, or revelation of the presence of God, taps into the fact that we are carriers of his glory. And in a sense, we possess the glory of God, the gospel, in the gospel of Christ Jesus. So how do we fill the earth with God's glory? How is the earth going to be filled? Well, first, through you and I, through his presence carriers. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. That's really a powerful verse. Part A of that verse we could spend a whole week on. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Always leads us in triumph. That's for another day. That's a freebie for you. I found that verse. I found it first. Look at part B. Who manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. God actually manifests himself through us, the sweetness of his presence and glory, the knowledge of him in every place. But you know what is beautiful? The knowledge of God's glory isn't just felt and seen like we talk about, that it's smelt. I got this picture as I was studying. It's like, we are to be as attractive to the dead world, the unbelieving world, as a starving man is to the smell of a steak after not eating for 21 days. Now, I don't know if that rings a bell for your nose. Anyone's excited? I mean, when you are just fasting and you smell a sweet steak, drive by Outback or Texas Roadhouse or any of those steakhouses, that just carries. A quarter mile, you can smell it. This is how we are to be to the world with God's very presence. Not just that they see it from a distance, but they actually look at that and say, whoo, I want to go near them because they've got the presence of God Almighty. We carry the face of Christ, the glory of God everywhere we go. 1 Peter 4:14 says, "For the Spirit of glory and God rests on you." The Spirit of glory rests on our shoulders. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the glory of God moved from the temple into his people. And the Holy Spirit now lives in us with all the glory of the Lord. And as we worship the God of glory, we are creating an atmosphere for his tangible presence. And the glory will be made manifest and change us so that we become like him. That as we worship God the Father with the Holy Spirit's help living inside of us, he actually transforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now I said that Habakkuk 2 chapter or verse 14 has at least two different meanings. And by the same token, the earth being filled with his glory, I believe, has two different degrees of fulfillment. And in order to discuss our current vision and task, we must look to creation. Theologians distinguish between the difference between the natural image of God and the moral image of God. Okay? Not going to get into the details of that behind the pulpit. You've got questions, come talk to me. And we did not lose the natural image of God when man sinned. Is that we retain some things and elements that we look like God still after the fall. For example, God affirms after the fall that we are still made in his image. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. But we did lose the moral image of God. This means we stopped reflecting God's moral attributes because we became corrupted and sinful. So while we still possess the will and emotions, we lost the moral attributes. And we reflected the opposite of what God is. God, perfect and holy, but we reflected our sinful natures. But this all changed because of Christ Jesus. And we are restored to the image of God. Colossians 3:10. So here's what this means. That as the expansion of the human race over the whole earth no longer fulfilled God's promise or purpose in creation, it filled the earth with people in his natural image who possessed an intellect or an emotion and a will. But those who are out of fellowship with God through Christ Jesus, who are ultimately against him, were not fulfilling his purpose. You step into Christ Jesus, we are restored and made a new creation. And through Christ, we are made new and come and reflect the moral image of God once again. But this can only be found through Jesus Christ. Moses was a man on whom the Holy Spirit rested. And even though he experienced God's tangible presence like many in this room or many today have not, I long for that. We in this new covenant possess a far greater treasure. The God of glory himself actually lives in us. When his glory descends, it's not only around us as Moses felt it, but it permeates every atom of our being. And we, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is a spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We not only have his glory in us, but it's all around us, and we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ with the end result of being like him and being made up of glory. So this church is tasked with reflecting the image of Christ to the world, to our community, so that we may come, or they may come, to a knowledge of his glory, a personal relationship. In other words, they're going to look like Christ because of the Holy Spirit, the glory living inside of us. Secondly, I believe the eternal fulfillment of God's glory will literally be filled with the incontestable knowledge of the Lord. That his inescapable glory and the undeniable knowledge of his glory will come in fullness when Jesus returns. I believe his glory will literally permeate the earth's atmosphere. I believe that the earth will be filled with it to a different degree. And we as mortal Christians simply cannot bring this level of glory. Why? Because it is just a reflected glory, in a sense. And anything that is reflected is much dimmer than the actual source of light. And on top of that, the weaknesses in our flesh and carnal minds actually corrupt this glory. So it will actually be the fullness of Jesus' very presence as our source that will fill the earth with his glory. And I believe this will occur during Christ's millennial reign. Now, if the predicted events in Revelation are linear and happen in that time frame, or sequentially, it will be between 20 and 21 when the new earth and heavens are created before then. But until Jesus' return, we are commissioned to reveal and reflect the very presence of God and the life-changing attributes that come with his glory to all of the world around us. We are essentially to fill the earth with his glory until he comes and brings it in its fullness. Now, his glory does not just exist everywhere, but it fills the earth as the waters cover the sea. Did you note that part of Habakkuk 2:14? As the waters cover the sea. It's not like there's water above the water. When we think of sea, we think of the actual water. We think of the ocean, right? But this, in this verse, is actually talking about the seabed. As waters cover the seabed. So just imagine yourself, here's the picture of what's happening in this verse, is that you're down in the deepest part of the ocean with 30,000 feet of water above you. That's the same way the glory of the Lord is going to be over us. It's not just swimming with a little bit of water around us. It's that we're at the bottom of the ocean looking up. It's that there's a blanket of God's very glory permeating everything around us. There will be no denying that's the Lord's glory as we're worshiping him. Psalm 72:19 says, "And blessed be his glorious name forever. And may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." I did a word study on knowledge and glory and God, and I had too many verses for us to even go through. I actually printed out about 50. I was going to just read them off in rapid fire to you, for you guys to get and understand the importance of the glory of God throughout the Bible. And then you get to the Psalms and it like goes to a whole nother depth. Glory has always been important. And the Lord is not done with it. We are to bring him glory. But I believe for this church, this is the goal and vision. And I want us to look to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to close out with this passage. I'm actually going to, Curtis, if you could come out and just play out with something. We'll close out with this scripture. This is the passage I referenced earlier. Your Bible may actually have a subtitle. It mentions the word Shekinah. It's not found in the Hebrew. This is the concept. This is what I desire. We've talked about it here before. It may have gone over your head. I hope not. Now you know. Now you have it. We're going to read it together. I want you to imagine Tridestone in the same place as this priest here in chapter 7, 2 Chronicles. It says, "Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices and the of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the of the Lord filled the Lord's house. All the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, 'Truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting.'" I want you just for a minute to close your eyes. Think about the people in this room. That the glory of God is so thick that there's actually not room for you to enter into Tridestone. Sunday morning, worship Curtis has to lead worship out on the front lawn because we can't even get in through the doors. That we can't even get in and worship. That we just have to lay prostrate before the Lord because His glory, His presence is so thick. That's what God desires for all of the earth today. And we settled for so much less. We've settled for so much less. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. He's permeating every atom of our being. And God says, I want to reveal my fullness, not just to live inside of you, but to the whole world. That as they come to your church, as they see your face, they will look to Jesus Christ and they will be changed forevermore. I don't want this just to be something that fills you up and makes you feel giggly and bubbly on the inside. But I want you to think about all the people that are going to be saved because my glory is going to be imparted to them. I want you to think about all the people whose chains are going to be broken because your glory is going to go. My glory is going to go with you. I want you to think about all the people that are going to be healed because we are carrying the very presence of God. I want you to look to the cross, to Jesus Christ, and I want you to look to His fullness and reflect that to the world. That's the vision for this church. That's the vision for Tridestone Christian Center today, that God says, I want you to fill the New River Valley with the knowledge of the glory of God. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the vision that you've given to the leadership here. Lord, may we desire to see this through, to see the New River Valley filled with your glory. Oh God, make us shine for you. Make this church shine for you. Make our lives live to the fullness that you have for us, God. May we glow in iridescent splendor of the fullness of the glory of God. May your presence permeate through our bodies. Lord, may every conversation that we have reflect the fullness and the goodness of God the Father. May the New River Valley come into the knowledge of the glory of God through the reflections on our faces. May we, as carriers of your light, make your presence manifest to the world. May we fill the earth with your glory. My desire for this body is not just to hear this message today, but it's to change our MO, how we evangelize the world. As we leave from here, I want us to just dwell and think on these words the Lord gave us today. He spoke through me. We would take serious the desire and longing of the fullness of the glory of God. And how that will affect the ministries that you're involved with, how it will affect your life and your family, how it will affect your work, how it will affect how you interact with your neighbors, how it affects how you worship here on Sunday morning. Lord, we desire to receive your fullness. To come into a right knowledge of the glory of God. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that we have a model, Jesus Christ, who is the exact representation of you, who reveals the glory of God. May we look to him this morning and have a better understanding of all that you have for us as a church for. May we not settle. May we not settle and be content with partial taste, but may we be a sweet aroma, Father, as we take the glory from here. Lord, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. As we leave from here, would you make us bold to share the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, for it is a salvation for the Jew first and also to the Gentile. It's in his name we give praise and glory. Amen. I want us to look at the vision statement again. I want us to read this together. Let it get into your spirit, man. Our vision is to see the New River Valley filled with the knowledge of the glory of Him.